Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Some human behavioral scientists are becoming increasingly concerned about what they see as the growing narcissism in our population. More and more of us think that we're special. In 1951, when a survey of 11,000 teenagers was done, 12% of them answered, "I am special," with a yes. When the survey was repeated in 1989, a whopping 78% agreed that they were special. Now, I have nothing against self-esteem. I think we all should value ourselves and want to do the best we can to make the most of our physical and mental potential. But the idea that we're special without having done anything, without any hard work, without any achievements to back it up, the belief that we're so special and that the world revolves around us and that if we don't get what we want when we want it, we throw a fit, I have trouble with that. I was thinking about that when I was stacking wood and wondering how this phenomena plays out in human-animal relationships. I think one place where you can see it is in the way that some people react when their animals develop behavioral problems. They immediately want the problem to go away. That means they either get rid of the animal, or if they seek help, they want an instant cure. The other part of this is that when we believe that we're entitled to have everything we want and to have everything go the way we want, it's very difficult not to take it personally when the dog misbehaves. It's difficult not to take it personally when we have to change first in order to change the dog's behavior. It's difficult not to take it personally when we have to set the example, when we have to demonstrate self-control, patience, consistency, because that's not part of the center of the universe mindset. When you're king of your own little universe, you get to do whatever you want, when you want, how much you want, and it's up to everybody else to support that illusion. And so when the dog growls at the letter carrier, the UPS guy, when the cat pees in the corner instead of in the litter box, that disturbs the little universe, and it makes the narcissist uncomfortable, it makes them grumpy, it makes them irritable. It's not supposed to be like this. And so it's very difficult for these people to make the changes. But then when the animal's behavior gets worse because of their inconsistency, now they're in even more of a bind. Because now the disruption in the universe is even greater. Then they want to give the animal up. But they don't want to accept any responsibility for the problem. So sometimes they'll go back to the trainer, the behavioral consultant, the veterinarian, and say, "Do you know a nice place out in the country for my dog who hates men and little kids?" And when you say, "No, placing an aggressive dog like yours, that's irresponsible. If you can't make the changes for whatever reason, then you should euthanize the dog." They don't want to hear that. They become very, very angry, very upset. Because the other thing that happens in the universe of the narcissist is that you don't have to accept consequences for your choices unless you want to. Who wants to accept responsibility for choices that indicate that maybe, you know, we're not as smart and as perfect as we thought? No, they don't want to do that. And they become angry because their universe has been disturbed. The other place where narcissism comes up in human-animal relationships is in the all-positive movement. I say that, and I know a lot of people will be shocked or maybe angry to hear me say that, but The idea of raising or training any individual using an all-positive method has some very narcissistic elements to it. I mean, who wouldn't want to play Santa Claus or Glinda the Good Witch or an angel all the time, always, always giving rewards, always gushing with love, always praising? Doesn't that fit with the narcissist's image of him or herself as perfect? And what does this approach do to the animal? Well, it depends on whether or not the animal has the mental stability to absorb the strain of such a lopsided situation. In no way am I saying that I advocate punishment. I don't. I advocate a teaching method that mimics the teaching methods used by mature adult successful animals. And that is that they set their young up to succeed. They set their young up to choose. They set their young up to learn self-control, to make choices and accept responsibility for those choices. They don't play God for their youngsters because they know the time will come when their youngsters are going to grow up and they're going to have to make it on their own. In other words, they teach them to survive in a universe that's bigger than the parental one. They teach them to survive in a universe that's bigger than their own little universe. That's hard to do, because the real universe doesn't play by our rules, does it? Every time we get too cocky, Mother Nature will come along and smack us down, if nobody else will. That's not such a bad thing, because we don't learn. We don't learn how strong we are. We don't learn how much courage we have. We don't learn self-control and how much patience we have any more than our animals do when things always go right. When things always go right, we get lazy and we take things for granted. So that's the kind of thing I think about when I'm stacking wood. I don't want to be a narcissist. I don't want to be an egomaniac. And yet I know that every day I have to fight against it, just like we all do, just like my dogs do, just like my cat does. Although I have to admit, I think that the dogs and I are succeeding better at this than the cat is, but I'm sure he would probably disagree.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.